My dearly beloved, last year, I recall on the feast, or rather on Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, I spoke during the sermon on the importance of joy in our spiritual life and having spiritual joy as a motive to animate us in our service of God. And I hope without being too redundant, we can cover the same topic again this morning with fruit. And it is important that we reflect upon this important quality of spiritual joy, because there are so many things in the world today that if we dwell on them too much, cause us discouragement, dejection. There are many evils in our society, in our government. And we as traditional Catholics see these and perhaps reflect upon them, and they can again be a source of dejection. It is important that we maintain spiritual joy, because when we serve God from joy, we serve Him well. We serve Him with merit and more grace. And I would like to begin by giving you a few quotations from the book of Psalms. I will rejoice in thy salvation. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we shall be exalted. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast regarded my humility. Thou hast saved my soul out of distresses. For in him our heart shall rejoice, and in his holy name we have trusted. But my soul shall rejoice in the Lord, and shall be delighted in his salvation. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I shall sing to thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Blessed is the people that knoweth jubilation. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, and in thy name they shall rejoice all the day, and in thy justice they shall be exalted. We are filled in the morning with thy mercy, and we have rejoiced and are delighted all our days. We have rejoiced for the days in which thou hast humbled us, for the years in which we have seen evils. Sion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced, because of thy judgments, O Lord. And this is just a small sampling of many quotations in the book of Psalms on joy. I would like to read to you another quotation from the book of Wisdom in the Old Testament. He that adores God with joy shall be accepted, and his prayer shall approach even to the clouds. I think this is a wonderful quotation. He that adores God with joy shall be accepted. In other words, God does not want us to serve Him from a sense of constraint that we have to do so, and out of fear or discouragement. But He wants us to serve Him with a joyful heart. He that adores God with joy shall be accepted, and his prayer shall approach even to the clouds. In other words, when we pray with a joyful heart, our prayer is more efficacious. It rises right to the throne of God, because we pray well when we pray from a joyful heart. We recall the words of our Blessed Mother at the Magnificat: my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my salvation. So spiritual joy then is very important. And if we look to the lives of the saints, we find that they had crosses, they had trials, they were misunderstood, maybe even persecuted, but they had joy in their hearts. In fact, St. Teresa of the Little Flower challenges her readers, says, show me a sad saint. You can't, because the saints were not sad. They had in their hearts the joy based on the conviction that they were serving God, that they were pleasing to Him. The joy of the world, on the other hand, is very shallow. It doesn't proceed from the heart, because it is based on things and pleasure and external things. And so it doesn't come from the depths of the soul. But true spiritual joy is based on a peaceful conscience and a conviction that we are doing what God wants us to do. And so therefore, this spiritual joy comes from our heart and is not disturbed, is not destroyed or taken away by the external trials which we may experience. There's another wonderful quote from the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. As a moth eats a garment, and a worm the wood, so the sadness of a man consumes the heart. If we allow ourselves to get into a mood, a melancholy state of sadness or dejection, it just eats up and destroys our spiritual life. Sadness incapacitates the soul for action. It has the same benumbing effect upon it as excessive cold does upon the body. A season of gloom and depression is an opportune moment for the devil. He avails himself of it to tempt us and make us fall, as birds of prey go out by night in quest of spoil. Hence, Holy Scripture exhorts us to be cheerful. The joyfulness of the heart is the life of a man, and a never-failing treasure of holiness. But sorrow for sin, whether our own or that of others, is pleasing to God and is succeeded by joy and gladness. What happiness awaited the prodigal son when he returned home after deeply deploring his sin? What joy the penitent thief experienced when our Lord promised him paradise? What joy Magdalene felt when Christ pardoned her and commended her love? And David, when after he had bewailed his transgression, the prophet announced to him that he was forgiven. Mourning for sin can hardly be called sadness, because it is not incompatible with interior gladness. Saint Jerome said, "In spite of penitential tears and heart-rending sighs, I am sometimes so joyous that I fancy myself already with the angels." Isn't that wonderful? That Saint Jerome, despite the fact that he bewailed his former sins and did penance for them, felt himself filled with joy. So if we do not have that joy, then we're doing something wrong. Now the question might arise then, well, how do I acquire this joy? Or when I find myself experience sadness and discouragement, how do I get rid of it? I think one of the best ways for us to cultivate joy is by reflecting upon the blessings that God has given to us. The conviction that we have that we are serving God as He wishes to be served, that we have the true faith. Our blessings in the Mass and the sacraments, our material blessings, so many good things, our family and loved ones, so many things that God has given to us. And of course, above all, the eternal happiness of heaven that we prepare for and that we look forward to. These thoughts provide us with sentiments of joy and confidence, which will help to buoy up the heart and help us to serve God again with that cheerfulness that is so pleasing to Him and so beneficial to ourselves. Now, of course, we are human, and we all have our periods of discouragement and trial. But strive to not dwell on the negative things that get us down. Do not dwell on those, but rather bear your cross with patience and then lift up your heart to God and rejoice in His blessings. Tomorrow is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and as we reflect upon the story, the apparitions of our Blessed Mother to Juan Diego, we find that the Spanish people had conquered the Aztecs a mere 10 years or so before Our Lady appeared. And still, despite the best efforts of the missionaries, the number of converts was very small. But it was when Our Lady appeared and gave the wonderful miracle of her image on the tilma of Juan Diego that the Aztec Indians were converted by the droves. But how did Our Lady convert them? Did she threaten them? Did she call down evils or punishment upon them? Or did she not invite them with her sweetness, with that spirit of joy, that wonderful joy, which drew them out of their paganism to the service of God? These are her words to Juan Diego when she first appeared the first time. "Dear little son, I love you. I want you to know who I am. I am the ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of the true God, who gives life and maintains it in existence. He created all things. He is in all places. He is Lord of heaven and earth. I desire a temple at this place where I will show my compassion to your people and to all people who sincerely ask my help in their work and in their sorrows. Here I will see their tears. Here I will console them, and they will be at ease. So now run to tell the Lord Bishop, etc. So, in other words, our Blessed Mother invited the people to the service of God. And you think about it, if we were to try to convert non-Catholics, if we were to start off by threatening them with the punishment of hell if they do not convert, how many would convert? But on the other hand, if we exhibit an example of joy like the early Christians did, then other people will be drawn by our example. Because fear of God is a very good motive, but it only lasts so long. And if a person only has fear and does not rise to the love of God, then sooner or later the temptations of the world will drown out that sense of fear and cause the person to abandon his former efforts. And one final quotation from the words of Our Lady to Juan Diego, and this was on the final apparition when she gave him the miraculous roses and placed them in his tilma. And she said, "My little son, do not be distressed and afraid. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection?" Such beautiful, consoling words of our Blessed Mother. And she says the same to all of us. Are you not my dear children? Are you not here under the folds of my mantle? Do I not have you in my heart? And so knowing that, let us serve God with joy. Let us cast from us the spirit of doom and gloom and dejection. Not to sugarcoat or to whitewash the evils that are in the world. That is not what I'm saying. But not to dwell on them to such a point that we get ourselves into a state of dejection, but rather to take to heart the words of St. Paul from today's epistle. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.